Please rise. The portion of God's holy word that we turn our attention to this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 4, beginning with the 26th verse. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. But he did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of our God. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I know that you are going to find this hard to believe, but there are some things that I simply don't understand, no matter how hard I try. When I was serving in Seattle, I naively mentioned to a retired rocket scientist how cool it would be if we could develop a warp drive or a transporter, you know, like they have in Star Trek. He instantly launched into a very detailed explanation of how the laws of physics prevent that from ever happening. I had no idea what he was talking about. When I was in Flint, I had a member who was a professor at Kettering University, one of the top engineering schools in the entire country. When I read that Kettering was working on developing a hydrogen fuel cell, I asked him, "How does that work?" Again, he launched into a very detailed explanation about how all of this works. I still don't understand it. As I was studying our sermon text for today, I couldn't help but think about all of the things that I simply do not understand. Why? Because here in our text, Jesus uses two very simple and yet very powerful parables to help us understand two simple yet amazing truths concerning the kingdom of God. Using a very common, well-known, everyday event in the lives of God's people, Jesus places before us this morning this amazing truth: from the tiniest of seeds grows the largest kingdom. Since even Jesus' disciples were mistaken when it came to the kingdom of God, since even Jesus' disciples were anticipating that as the Messiah, Jesus was going to establish a powerful, visible kingdom right here on this earth, Jesus tries to help his disciples understand the truth concerning his kingdom. While Jesus' kingdom is indeed a powerful kingdom, and while Jesus' kingdom is indeed a glorious kingdom, Jesus' kingdom is not a visible earthly kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus' kingdom centers on his ruling in the hearts of those who believe and trust in him. Both of the parables that we have before us today look at a particular aspect of the kingdom of God. Look at the first parable recorded for us in verses 26 through 29. Jesus says, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." The sheer simplicity of this parable is amazing. So amazing that even I can understand it. When a farmer or a gardener places a seed into the ground, they do so trusting in the innate power contained in that seed. A farmer or a gardener may not understand exactly how that seed grows, but once they plant it in the ground, they go about their regular everyday activities trusting that that seed will grow. It is inevitable. They trust that the seed, all by itself, will automatically produce the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. They trust that when that growth cycle is complete, the field or the garden is ready for harvesting. The application of this parable to Jesus' kingdom is not difficult, is it? The seed represents the word of our God. We are the ones who scatter the seed. We are the ones who share God's word with others. As we faithfully share the seed of God's holy word with others, we trust. We trust that our God-given role in God's kingdom is to simply scatter the seed, to simply share God's word with others. We trust that God's word has a power in and of itself, a power that is unmatched by anything in this world. The Apostle Paul reminds us of the power of God's word when he tells us in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God. That could also be translated as the power that comes from God or the power that belongs to God. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Because of the power that is inherent in God's word, we trust that once God does what only God has the ability to do, and that is cause that seed to sprout and grow and mature, then God himself will harvest all those souls. God himself will gather all of his children into his heavenly home. That trust and that patience is what we need to keep before our eyes and in our hearts as we are sharing God's word with others, whether on a congregational level or on an individual level. Since we have been given the responsibility to scatter God's word, since we have been given the responsibility of sharing God's word with others, we need to look for opportunities to share that word. So ask yourself, is there someone you already know? Family member, a relative, an acquaintance, a friend, a neighbor, a co-worker who does not yet believe in Jesus and what Jesus has done for them? Look for ways. Look for ways that you can share God's powerful word with them. But what is the best way to scatter the seed of God's word? What is the best way to share God's powerful word with others? Well, we could simply talk with them, can't we? We simply talk to them, especially when they are going through something unusual in their life, such as the birth of a child, the death of a loved one, the loss of a job, the loss of their health, depression, or loneliness. By the grace of God, we have been given what everyone needs. By the grace of God, we have been given the amazing truths that are contained in the powerful word of the one and only living God. So when we are given the opportunity to share those amazing truths with others, let's do it. Let's share the seed of God's holy word, trusting in God's ability to cause that seed to sprout and grow and mature. Let's share the powerful seed of God's holy word with the patience that enables us to wait. Wait for that seed to grow and bear fruit. Wait for God to do what only God can do, at his own time and in his own way. On a congregational level, we can carry out the responsibility that God has given to us to scatter the seed of his holy word, to share Jesus with others, by simply making connections with the people that we come across. Make a connection with them so that we will have the opportunity to share Jesus with them. We can carry out the responsibility that God has given to us to share His word and scatter the seed of His word by supporting the worldwide mission efforts of our synod. We know, my friends, we know that God's word works. We are living, breathing proof of the fact that God's word has the power to take root in the hearts of sinners and bear fruit in the lives of saints. With the trust and the patience that comes from knowing the amazing truth that God's word works, Jesus goes on to give us yet another amazing truth concerning his kingdom. Look at verses 30 to 32 of our text. Our Savior says, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." From our perspective as New Testament Christians, we have been given the eyes of faith, the faith that enables us to see this parable in action. Think about it. A tiny little baby was born in a manger in Bethlehem many years ago. That tiny little baby grew up and lived an absolutely perfect life as our substitute. That baby suffered innocently, suffered and died on the cross to pay for our sins. That baby then physically rose from the dead to guarantee that we have been justified. We have been declared not guilty by the living God himself. And now that tiny little baby has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. A small band of simple, uneducated men faithfully proclaimed the message of salvation purely by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And now there is a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. When we look at the amazing truth about how Jesus' kingdom has grown from the time he gave the Great Commission to his church to now, we rejoice. We rejoice in knowing that Jesus' kingdom will continue to grow as we continue to share the powerful message of God's word all around the world. As we marvel at how the tiniest seed grows into the largest kingdom, let's not overlook how that same amazing truth applies to us right here, right now. There are two points that I'd like to emphasize here. First, as we look around in church on Sunday morning, there is the danger of becoming disheartened. We might look at other churches, we might hear about other churches, and we might wonder, why can't we fill up our church the way that they fill up their church? That could lead to the temptation of thinking that maybe if we just kind of loosen up on some of the teachings that people today just don't seem to like. Maybe if we just adjust what we teach so that it lines up better with what people are willing to accept today, then we might be more successful. Then we might have more people in church on Sunday morning. Humanly speaking, that is probably true. Humanly speaking, if we tell people what their itching ears want to hear, then we'll probably have more people in church on Sunday morning. That approach, however, is not pleasing or acceptable to him. Think of the Great Commission. Jesus commanded us to go out and teach everyone to obey everything that he has given to us. Jesus has told us, "Do not add anything to my word and do not subtract anything from my word." Jesus has promised us, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." We need to trust that as we share God's powerful word with others, as we plant that tiny seed in people's hearts, God has the power to make that tiny seed grow into the largest kingdom. Secondly, as we look around in church on Sunday morning, instead of lamenting about the people who are not here, let's rejoice in the people who are here. Even now, birds of all kinds are finding rest in the branches of Jesus' kingdom. Even now, we are enjoying the calm, soothing, refreshing shade of being in God's kingdom. Even now, we are receiving the forgiveness and the peace that comes to us through God's holy word and God's holy supper. Even now, we are included in the kingdom that is being produced by this tiny seed, a kingdom which, from God's perspective, is the largest, the most glorious, the most powerful kingdom that will ever exist. Before we close today, let's take a moment to remember that today is also Father's Day, isn't it? How do these two parables both impact and motivate Christian fathers and Christian grandfathers? It starts by remembering that our Heavenly Father has given to us the primary responsibility of planting the seed of His powerful word in the hearts of our children. With both our words and our actions, we need to strive to be the example to our children and our grandchildren that our Heavenly Father wants us to be. It starts by making sure they have been baptized in the name of our triune God. It continues by teaching them how to say their prayers and by having home devotions. We let them see how important it is to go to church and go to Sunday school on a regular basis. We let them hear how God's word guides and directs us as we go through the trials and the tribulations of journeying through this world. We impress upon them the importance of serving. Serving our God and serving others. We strive to accurately reflect both the love and the forgiveness that our Heavenly Father showers upon us each and every single day. You know, there are indeed some things that I may never understand, and that's fine. Whether it's quantum physics or hydrogen fuel cells, I'm happy that there are people who do understand things like that. I'm even happier to rejoice in the things that I don't need to understand, such as the power of God's holy word and the unstoppable growth of God's holy kingdom. And I'm most happy of all when I stop to remember that God has given to us the privilege of scattering the seed of His word. God has given to us the responsibility of sharing His word with others, knowing that we can lay our head down on our pillow at night with the comfort and the confidence that the God of heaven gives to us through His servant Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. From the tiniest seed grows the largest kingdom. That is the amazing truth that our amazing God proclaims to us today. To God be the glory. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses